The Ashes on SEN. For Host Plus, the industry super fund for all Australians. That's a plus.
The sun is out for the start of day two at the Gabba, Australia, 25 minutes away from beginning its first innings. England all out for 147. Jared Waitley and Anthony Hudson with you on SEN Test Cricket, our pre-game show for the all-new Isuzu MUX. Day two of a test match. It's our chance to check in with the top office at Cricket Australia. The chief executive is Nick Hockley. Nick, great to have you on SEN Test Cricket.
Jared, morning. Thanks for having me.
The captain said it was the dream start. How did the chief executive feel about the way day one unfolded?
Oh, it was just magnificent. I mean, I think that first ball, I think that's going to get a moment that's going to go down in Ashes folklore, and they just continued through the day. So just, you know, absolutely thrilled, and it's going to be a long, long series. There were times over the last 6 months that we thought it might not happen, so to see a packed Gabba was just absolutely fantastic.
So for a whole lot of reasons, was there, I don't know whether it's relief or satisfaction in watching that day unfold?
I think a whole host of things. And, you know, I think I made a phone call just before the coin toss to my equivalent, Tom Harrison at the UCB, just really to say a big thank you for everybody's work and effort behind the scenes to make it all happen. And we just cannot wait for a really compelling series, and we're just very, very grateful that it's all able to unfold.
And how significant to have the team play well is, it's been an unsettled calendar year really in Australian cricket. Is it significant that under the new regime they had such an outstanding day?
I think it is, and I think it comes off the back of that wonderfully successful T20 World Cup. So, you know, it has been a journey. I remember probably when we last spoke, just coming back from the West Indies and Bangladesh, and a whole host of, you know, really, really tough conversations about, you know, how we everyone takes accountability, role clarity, and just how we're going to really focus on these two campaigns. And what we saw at the T20 World Cup is we saw our T20 side performing to their potential, and just a fantastic start yesterday at the Gabba, and let's hope we keep the focus and continue that form through the series.
The start was at the Gabba. Where will the end be, Nick? Where will the fifth test be?
Yeah, we're just extremely disappointed. And I have to say, I've just gutted that we, through this pandemic, we've done everything we possibly can to play the schedule as planned. And unfortunately, for the cricket fans of WA, we weren't able to play in Perth. We're just working that through now. As an absolute priority, and we'll be making some announcements hopefully in the not too distant future.
The Western Australian Police Minister described Cricket Australia as completely inflexible and a pretty poor organisation. I wonder if you feel the same way toward the government. Is that criticism unfair?
I think that's entirely unfair. I think we've worked really constructively with governments right around the country all throughout the last 18 months, including the Western Australian government. So that's certainly not reflective of the conversations and the spirit of the conversations that I've been having with counterparts over in Western Australia. And, you know, everyone's been extremely, extremely constructive. And, you know, in the end, I mean, delivering a test match, it's a massive endeavour, massive logistical endeavour, a major event, 5 days, a huge number of production personnel. And in the end, it became pretty clear in the last 10 days that it was just logistically not feasible. So I actually haven't seen those comments, but they're certainly not reflective of the discussions that I've been part of.
So, good morning, Nick. Were they unreasonable then in the end, the WA government?
I think they've been consistent that they've got very strict rules. Unfortunately, I mean, I think people have made comparisons to the AFL. The AFL were able to put in an additional buy round and get that 2 weeks clear. That wasn't something that was possible. England have got further commitments beyond this, and we only had a short gap between the fourth and the fifth test. So, you know, I think we worked constructively with the stadium, with WA Police to try and find solutions, which effectively created a 14-day very strict lockdown bubble. But, you know, in the end, that would have prejudiced the broadcast in Sydney and also made it very difficult in Perth. So, you know, I think in the end it just became unfeasible, and I'm very, very appreciative for all the work over many, many weeks by lots of people at the stadium, WA Health, WA Police, hotels. I mean, the whole our broadcasters, but unfortunately, it was just not possible. We would have absolutely loved to play. It's an incredible stadium. It's never hosted an Ashes test before, so you know, we certainly share in the disappointment. We have to move on, and we're working as a priority to finalise where we're going to play the fifth test.
What is the number one priority in making that decision? Is it money or a bigger picture than that?
Well, we'll take into account a range of considerations, it'll be a balance of considerations.
Who's in for it, Nick? Who are you weighing up?
We've had lots of interest, and I won't go into specifics because we're just working through the details now. But as I've said, we're working to come to a position as quickly as possible, working through all the detail. So hopefully there'll be a decision and an announcement in the not too distant future.
The Prime Minister has stumped up for Hobart. Does that hold any sway?
Oh, I think we've had lots of interest. I think what that shows is, you know, just the prestige, the history, you know, how compelling an Ashes test is. So we've tried to be fair to everyone. We've given everyone an opportunity. We'll be taking into account a range of considerations, and you know, ultimately, it's my job to put a recommendation to the board.
And the pink ball, so that's essential because the Perth is prime time. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's right. So certainly, when we had to come to move the fifth test, that was a prerequisite with our broadcast partners that we maintain that evening time slot on the East Coast. So yes, the plan is for wherever it's played, it will be a day-night test pink ball.
And is that something that could potentially be something that is done again in the future, if in fact you choose Sydney or Melbourne, that we could actually see a day-night test in one of those venues in the future if this goes really well?
Well, I think it's a pretty unique set of circumstances that we're facing now, and I think everyone's had to be really flexible through this time. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it goes, and you know, as we go forward, I suppose nothing's off the table.
Nick Hockley's the chief executive at Cricket Australia. Nick, the 2 weeks leading up to the Ashes was marred by the loss of a captain, and the personal toll that it's taken on him sees him not as part of this series. The previous chairman and Cricket Tasmania in particular were critical, appalling and abandoned, accusing Cricket Australia of its conduct towards its former captain. Did Cricket Australia abandon Tim Payne?
Look, it's obviously just a really, really difficult situation. I think let's not forget that it was Tim's decision to step aside. And, you know, I think, you know, certainly for that, that was a decision that the board felt was appropriate. You know, certainly I feel Tim deserves a lot of respect. He's led. He's been an exemplary captain throughout his three years, done a phenomenal job, and it's just a very, very difficult situation. But certainly really got a level of respect that he has, whilst he's made a big mistake, he's owned it, and he's stepped aside to really prioritise and look after his family. So just a very difficult situation all round.
Could he have expected a greater level of support from an organisation that he served extremely well in a difficult time as captain?
Look, I think we've really sought to support him. As I said, it was Tim's decision to step aside, and I know certainly the head coach has been down to see him. We've had members of our high performance set up go down to Tassie. The Tasmanian cricket community have put their arms around him. Everyone really wants to support him as best we can.
How did the board and management, Nick, feel that they would reach the opposite outcome with the same information as you articulated in the Saturday press conference, with no change to the integrity report and the investigation of the time?
Yeah, I think it's to make those really clear. You know what the board is saying is if presented with the same information currently, maybe they would have made a different decision. But that was, as I say, that was post Tim stepping aside as captain. So it's really the current board, based on current circumstances, would have made a different decision. And that is, you know, what has happened in the intervening period is there's been a huge amount of work done on player education, very clear expectations around use of social media, player behaviour, and you know, ultimately it's in that context that those comments were made.
But isn't, Nick, that a case of classic double jeopardy? He got tried for the same crime twice in different times where attitudes and work had changed, and having been cleared by an integrity report which didn't alter, the opposite verdict was reached, was articulated on him.
Well, as I said, I mean, I think we can't forget that it was Tim that made his own decision to step aside. The board felt that was appropriate. There was, you know, I think it was the current board made their position clear that is, you know, behaviour that in current circumstances with all of the education is deemed not appropriate. So, but you know, as I said, Tim made the decision to step aside. We're very focused now on supporting him, and I would say full respect for Tim. He made a big mistake. He served Australian cricket as captain supremely well over the last number of years. He's paid an enormously high price, and you know, a lot of respect for him stepping aside to focus on his family. But we're all very, very concerned to make sure that Tim is well supported.
Do you want to see him playing cricket again for Australia or his state?
Absolutely, would love to see him play again for both his state and for Australia. We want to see him back out there playing and performing as quickly as possible.
So broadly, are you comfortable with the way Cricket Australia handled what was a difficult situation?
I've made my comments. I think, you know, I think a lot of respect for Tim for owning his mistake, and you know, our job now is to really support him, and you know, we'll continue to educate the players. You know, we really our modern day athletes and cricket players in particular are role models. And, you know, a huge amount of work is going on to make sure that, yeah, everyone's clear and understands their responsibility. And, you know, I think ultimately we all need to take the learnings from what has been a very, very difficult situation, particularly, you know, for Tim, but for everyone involved.
On the question of leadership, Nick, with the change that was made, is the Dave Warner scenario was reinvigorated. Is there any appetite to review Warner's permanent leadership ban in every level of cricket in Australia?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's at this point it's hypothetical. I know there was some commentary about potentially David. If he were to take a leadership position for a BBL franchise, we haven't been approached yet by any BBL franchises. So at this stage, that's a hypothetical that would need to be discussed if that situation arose. But you know, I think our focus has been on captaincy succession and on the process to appoint Pat and Steve to their leadership positions and. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge if and when it comes up.
If he had the desire, could he expect a hearing or the default position was the finding of the time, the verdict of the time? Would you give him a fresh hearing if he asked?
again, I think that's something we need to discuss as it comes up, and it's not something we've considered deeply at this stage.
Nick, we'll look forward to seeing you in Adelaide.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jared.
Good on you. Nick Hockley is the Chief Executive of Cricket Australia. He joins us on SEN Test Cricket for Host Plus. That's a plus. The sun is shining at the Gabba. We'll touch base with the commentary box and set up for the first ball next.